Blog Talk Radio.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm part of the Neighborhood Crime Watch. The way this works is you watch, I commit the crime.
Oh my God. No.
There's no talking. You just give me your watch and wallet now.
Here's my problem. You're black.
Mr. Crane!
What? I'm Devin Crane. I'm a big shot.
So am I.
If you kill me, the headline's gonna be Black Guy Kills White Big Shot.
And that's the last thing we need when we're trying to elect an African-American as president.
Dear God!
How about if I just blow your brains out right now?
That doesn't work for me. Work for you?
Please.
Hey. All right. Watch. Wallet. Gun. Knee. Right foot. Left foot. Thank God for guns, huh, Jerry?
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a logger.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Hey. What's up, people? This is the Midweek in Review edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. It's a two-hour blast. Let me rephrase that, a two-hour mind blast. We have a lot of funk, a lot of fire, and a lot of facts. So stay tuned. The call-in number, as always, as ever, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Let's give you some, I'm going to give you the guy I always give you. You're just going to have to tolerate that. You've been tolerating it for so long thus far, so why not? And then we're going to also give you new Muzak, courtesy of Mr. Mos Def, now Yasin Bey. And actually, it's a free download, folks. I'll get that information to you forthwith. But it's a download that's actually Yasin Bey overdubbed with Marvin Gaye. So it's actually called Yasin Gaye. Hence, Yasin Bey, Marvin Gaye. It's a cool mashup, so we're going to play some of that music as well. This is His Royal Badness Live, Willing and Able. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
And I'm able, ready to place my cards on the table. There's some kings in my deck, and a queen or two. There ain't nothing I won't do. Two brothers, willing. Ava, two brothers, willing, yes sir, Ava, on this side say, willing, yes sir, and over here say, alright,
What? Willing. What's his brother's name? Can we take it up? Come on. Willing. That's your part. And you said, able. What you say? Yeah. Come on. Oh, stop the hand clap. April. Oh, yeah. Don't that feel good? What you want to do in the balcony? Really? Keep singing. Keep singing. April. Yeah. Put the top on it. Really? Come on, everybody. Thank you, Montreux.
Royal Badness live from Montreux, willing and able. Let's get into it, folks. Captain Kirk, you need it in the ready room. Let's get to it. Lots to discuss.
Now, I'm just going to jump right into it today. All right. Now, what I'm going to explain here is very, very important. In respect to explaining reality, explaining how you get the matrix around you, how things happen around you, that's what I'm going to explain to you right now. But before I can explain it to you, I have to give you the prerequisites first. Now, most of the things, and practically all the things that you have in your head as a wage slave makes you a better wage slave. Some of you are highly learned individuals. You can run off facts at parties. You impress your bosses, which is a good thing, because you go to the parties and you say, you tell them the capital of Italy is this, the capital of Russia is this, capital of Colombia is this. You know these things. And then the boss looks at you and goes, oh, this guy here that we just hired at the company party that they told you that you didn't really have to attend, but you have to attend. Those people working in corporate America, you know what I'm talking about. So the boss looks at you and says, yeah, let's watch him for the next 90 days. Seems intelligent, and let's give him a promotion. So it's good for these type of things, and it's good to look smart to your friends and your family, but you still don't understand in no way, shape, or form how the reality around you actually works. Now, let me talk about Nikola Tesla a little bit, just a little bit. See, Nikola Tesla was a super genius. He didn't know that at the given time. Nikola Tesla made a mistake. How so, Captain? What do you mean, the great Nikola Tesla made a mistake? Yes, he did. He went too far ahead of humanity with his inventions at the time. What he needed to do was to go half a step or to one step ahead, like Thomas Edison, give you the light bulb and make fortunes. So anytime you advance present technology a half a step or a step forward, later on, they either dub you a hyper genius. Notice I didn't say super genius. I said hyper genius. Or a whole bunch of money. Keep your accolades. I don't want your accolades, because what I'm doing is I'm going to advance this about a half a step forward, what I'm going to tell you from the present state. But give me the money 15 years in the future. You can keep your accolades, wage slave. Now, this is what you have to understand, right? People leave the present high school system, and then this is what they say. They say, according to the federal, according to, not according to the captain, according to federal education data, only 26% of the people who attend high school, this is worldwide, leave with the ability to grasp science and mathematics in an effective form of reading. Only 26%. And this can get worse or slightly better if you decide to attend college. You might not attend college. You might go to the military. You might get a union job. You might go into the post office. You might do other things, you know. But if, and a lot of you innately know this. How so? Because most of you, when you're going to attend college, they show you a list and they tell you what careers are going to make money. And a lot of times, not all the time, scientifically based, mathematic based courses, careers, have higher starting salaries. So why don't you go into it? Because innately, you know you can't do it. You know why you can't do it? Because of how the modus operandi of how it has been decanted into your being. I didn't do that to you. The system did that to you. Now, there is at the given time, there's plenty of systems. Well, I'm not going to say plenty, but there's a few that have been proven to work on people who are average, below average, those that cannot learn, and get them up to a very viable level, even sometimes surpassing those in regular school who they say are doing very well. So how come they don't implement these programs? Because that would be counterintuitive to wage slavedom. As a wage slave, you can never be educated to the level of the master. Can you imagine if the cattle that we eat, far as beef is concerned, knew that they were going to be slaughtered? Actually, the cattle has an advantage, because if they did know, they can run off and live on the land. You can't do anything at the given time. So you have been totally processed as a wage slave. Coupled with the fact that cell phones, you can look up this information, I'm not making it up, cell phones create brain damage, GMO foods, Wi-Fi, fluoride, not according to the captain, but according to the Germans, pioneered by the Germans, makes you more docile and destroys your higher brain function. We really can't get away from it. I know some of you say, well, I don't use fluoride toothpaste, but fluoride is in the water in most cities, so you absorb it through your skin. Now that you understand it, the plight that we're in, far as grasping things that should be somewhat easier than the way they are administered to you right now. Also, too, when it comes to science or any form of mathematics, you have a blocking system. It's like going to a junkyard and you see a bunch of dogs. The dogs don't know who you are. You can't get in, unless, of course, you want to deal with getting bit or something like that. But the dog will let in what is familiar to the dog. So if you're familiar to the dog, then you can come in and mingle. So what the captain likes to do, I use analogies, something that you are familiar with. Somewhat like what a mom does when she looks at little Johnny and she says to Johnny, who can't talk as of yet, she says to Johnny, look, I'm running, and putting her feet up and down. Johnny doesn't really know the word, but he associates the word with the action, because the action is familiar to Johnny. The same thing that I do here. And that's from these techniques that have been shown to teach people who are average or below average or even can't learn. So that being said, let me get into quantum mechanics, okay, and keep it very simple. Do not be scared in any way, shape, or form. Now, the problem with science and also mathematics at times, when you go to school, you ask your teacher, why is a negative times a negative a positive? The teacher says, just is. Not every teacher, but most teachers. You take on that same type of mentality because these are the people that taught you. So you think you're smart, but you're really not. You're just regurgitating the knowledge. You're very wise when, who, what, when, how to regurgitate this knowledge, but you don't have understanding. Then if you're lucky enough to go to university and sit in a quantum physics class, the teacher says to you, well, the observer collapses the quantum wave function. We do not know why the observer collapses the quantum wave function, but this makes a reality. So the teacher, again, is teaching something that they really don't understand. So you take on the personality of the teacher. Someone has to come along who has some form of understanding to be able to explain it to the masses. And once that happens, they have a tendency to pull it out of the university because now it becomes threatening. Now, so let me begin. According to the Copenhagen interpretation, not according to the captain, you can look this up, and you're not going to be able to deconstruct, refute, or vivisect this. You know why? Because it's backed up by every university on the planet that teaches quantum physics. It's backed up by books all over the world. It's backed up by Wikipedia. It's backed up all over the internet. I'm just backed up all over today. So, according to the Copenhagen interpretation, the observer collapses the quantum wave function. But what does that mean? Captain, what does that mean? What are you talking about? You have humans observing. You know you see things. You have animals observing. You have insects. You know, insects can see, too, observing. You also have other things that observe, but I won't get into that. I do not want to confuse you. We're keeping this very baby-like. So all of this observation going on, collapsing a quantum wave function. If you collapse a quantum wave function, you make a reality. What reality? Any reality. Now, let me bring it more into a situation you can understand. If I put images on the TV screen, on the movie screen, in print media, of black people going to jail on a regular basis, being criminals, and the whole society sees this, and via the internet, on a regular basis, the observers, because you observe it on a regular basis, okay? All the observers link up over a period of time, collapse the quantum wave function, and this becomes the reality for black people. Not all black people, but this becomes the common consensus. Now, let's reverse it, okay? If I put on the TV screen black people getting married, black people going to school, black people having their own business, black people being super intelligent, and I run this on a TV screen, movie screen, print media, internet, for let's say a period of 15 to 20 years, what do you think happens if the observer collapses the quantum wave function? All of a sudden, there is a change. It's not really sudden, though. It's over a period of time. A generation, they say, is 19.7 years. Sometimes they say it's 30, all right? You could split the difference. But black people are very talented, so let's say it would only take 15 years, and then this reality manifests. Now, let's go further with this now. Now, ironically, I'm going to be using some expletives. The only expletive I'm going to use is the truth. Because truth is an expletive now in the Zionist world. Now, what I'm going to say is not anti-Semitic. It is the truth. Ironically, ironically, Jewish people control Hollywood. Jewish people control the print media. Jewish people control TV outlets. Dre just got a bunch of money the other day. Isn't there a Jewish person above him? Yeah, he did make some money, but isn't there a Jewish person? So quantum wave collapse is controlled, the observer. Okay, the observer, based on the Copenhagen interpretation, not the captain's interpretation. This interpretation you can look up, okay? The observer collapses the quantum wave function. So when they put all of these images of the nice white faces that you see as a black man, it is a double-fold situation because, number one, you have been conquered by white people. We were slaves, right? And the fatal flaw in human beings is once you've been conquered, you worship your conqueror. Just look at all of Latin America. They worship Spain. They're running around saying, I'm Spanish, I'm Spanish. No, man. The Spaniard came, he stuck his penis into your women and gave you your language. You've been conquered, so you worship your conqueror. Then it's a double fold with black people. Based on your observation, you see the nice white faces on TV. This becomes your reality. This becomes the reality that you're always going to white people based on observation. Understand what I'm saying? Now, this is a beautiful system, and this is what they should be doing at the top because it is their system. Let's go above them. Contrary to popular opinion, they'll say all the bankers are Jewish. That is not true. The bankers are Jewish and Scottish Rite Freemasons. At the top, they control quantum wave collapse, making the reality that you see around you, my friends. Now, I have to talk about Farrakhan a little bit. Farrakhan, the great Farrakhan, he wanted to make a separate nation. But how could he make a separate nation when black people in this country sip the wine of Christianity? They don't sip the wine of Muslim faith. So anything Farrakhan would say would be blocked by this wine that they're drinking. He had the right idea, but the wrong reasoning behind it. You need your own system to control quantum wave collapse to make a reality for yourself. Now, how come the great Farrakhan didn't have anybody to come along and be able to tell him this is what makes reality? You're going to tell me there's no black scientists? That's not true. There's plenty of them. You see, understanding is for the few. Now you see why we need our own system. Simply put, you put in your house pictures of Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, and other ilk of that type inside your house. You control the images that you see, and this becomes your reality by the Copenhagen interpretation. Simply put, the Chinese, if you want your movie shown in China, you have to go through 30 screeners or more. They say, pull this out, pull this out, pull this out, because they realize observation creates the reality. They have over a billion people. They can't have their people seeing certain things because via observation, it collapses the quantum wave function, and this will make a reality within a people. So they block certain things being shown in China. They have understanding. You black man, you don't have understanding. You're always late to the party. And this is why they also block certain things from the internet. So you see China via observation creating a reality. Remember, Chinese were considered stupid a few years back. Creating a reality, have raised themselves to a higher level. And eventually, because they're formulating good ties with Africa, it looks like China, monoculture, eventually takes over the world via observation. You see? This is the most important thing you black people need to understand. Now, it's nice to understand and know things about, you know, the capital of this, you know about Egyptian culture. All that is good. Makes you a better wage slave. But this is reality, my friends, and you have to understand reality. Reality. This is how you get this. So going to Media Takeout, going to World Star Hip Hop enforces the reality that we have here in the black community. This is why ultimately, all right, whether Obama likes it, whether Putin likes it, Netanyahu, the former Prime Minister Blair, what's going to happen because of the kleptocracy of these bankers, we are going to get our own system. The white people are going to get their own system. China already has their own system, all right? We're going to get this because the kleptocracy, they were too greedy, these bankers. And regardless of whatever you do, whether you have quantum wave collapse control, if you keep pulling from the people in this case, the white race, and lowering their frequency, eventually the zombie goes crazy and they run amok. Remember in London, 2011, it was blacks burning down London. Things are on the horizon that are going to happen really soon here in this country. Remember, the quantum wave function, the observer collapses the quantum wave function. What you observe becomes the reality. You need your own system, black man, so you can control quantum wave collapse, so you can make the reality that you need. And the only way you're going to do anything is once you're squeezed into that reality, because we became brothers on that ship. We were all warring tribes. So based on your inception means you have to be squeezed into a reality, and that reality is coming. That's all I'm going to say for now. This is part one. Part two, in part two, I will explain to you what happens when you send a tweet, when you use social media via quantum wave collapse. And remember, I am backed up by all the universities on the planet. Quantum mechanics, they've been doing this since the 1920s. So don't try to refute it, deconstruct it, or vivisect it. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd. Let's go.
All right. Always edifying, Captain. And for those who are listening, you may want to listen to this broadcast several times based on what the great captain has just laid out. It may sound a little out there. I repeat, it may sound a little out there. But he also can back up what he's just stated. I would advise our listenership to go to Psychology Today, a September 29th, 2011 article by Mr. Mel Schwartz, and it's called A Shift of Mind, I repeat, of Mind, Rethinking the Way We Live, subtitled Collapsing the Wave, Creating New Realities. I'm going to read a brief thing here because I always like to back up the captain. I'm just going in the middle of the article, and it says, the imprints of certain childhood events which impact us so significantly are in fact wave collapses of our identity. As newborns or infants, if not at conception itself, we resemble the potentiality of the wave, waiting for our identity to take shape. Notwithstanding matters of genetics, archetypal and astrological influences, our lives are not yet determined and our personalities are not yet molded. It goes deeper into this thing, but it does make that connection that the captain was talking about. What he is proclaiming can be validated, and that's exactly what we are attempting to do here at Afro Nerd, is to invert your thinking, because you know you do have control over your reality. Everything isn't all about fate. I'll get deeper into that. The captain, of course, will get deeper into it. I want to thank friend of the show, Sergio Mims, for emailing me this particular article talking about changing things. Black Youth Project, 11-year-old Romani Wilfred, a Afro-Brit, 11 now, scores higher than Albert Einstein on the Mensa test. 11 years old, child of color, black male of color by way of the UK. Now, unfortunately, Mr. Mims' tagline was, He doubted that it was a African-American child. I would have to concur. But listen, we do have black children in the Americas doing it. We're not necessarily promoting it. And that's the key component, dovetailing back to what the captain's talking about. We're going to have to create our reality. Unfortunately, we're creating a reality that's based on failure, and that's exactly what we're doing. It's becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. There's got to be an antithesis to the minstrel industry, i.e. World Star Hip Hop, Media Takeout, Bossip, all the talk shows, so forth. You know what we're talking about. It is what it is. So when we get back, more anecdotal data, more current events. This is the Midweek in Review edition of AfroNerd. The call-in number, as always, 646-915-9620. Let's go to a quick groove. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm going to play a couple of cuts from the great Yasiin Bey, a.k.a. Mos Def. There's a free download courtesy of Bandcamp. You can pretty much Google this. You can go to okplayer.com, which you know is The Roots, Jimmy Fallon's The Roots. His band, OK Player, Bandcamp, Bandcamp, Bandcamp.com, or just simply Google Yasiin Gay. You know, putting the two together, Yasiin Bey, Yasiin Gay, G-A-Y-E. All right, this is Ghetto Rock featuring Chuck Berry, I believe a little bit of Marvin Gaye, of course, and it's from the Yasiin Gay download. Let's groove. We'll be right back.
Ching, jingling, ching, jingling.
Hey, roll off
the seat. Oh, do, 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 do,
Hello, children.
Blackjack Johnson, NYC, R-O-C-K-I-N-G, Sun in the moon, Earth, stars, and planets. Before it's all done, y'all gon' all understand it like, ha, the Hades can't with it, cause they mom and they sister and girl in love with it. Sam and holla black, come with it. Spin the record till the record done spinning. Up top is you getting up with it. Dirty, dirty is you getting crunk with it. Smoke it, smoke from coast to coast, but careful, that first jaw be that overdose. Who stay holding it for Brooklyn, you know it's most. Jackpot, I got to go for broke, this is the only way this Smith family know to go. Right here to my youngest one, it's older folks. I'ma put it down like a dirty so-and-so. Free daddy can't wait to work the mojo up, because the high is high and the low is low. But that go for the Smith, that man to hold it for. Put your in the sky like I know you know. My ghetto nation get sold and sold, but stay rockin' steady, steady, cause I told you so. And after y'all get it, go on, let it go some more. That blackjack about something, for sure, for sure. For sure, for sure. Let me see you in the world, making your shoulder roll. But if it get good, then you need to know you both are weak. Blackjack Johnson, NYC, R-O-C-K-I-N-G. Sun and the moon, Earth, stars, and planets. Before it's all done, y'all gon' all understand it like Blackjack Johnson, NYC, R-O-C-K-I-N-G. Sun and the moon, Earth, stars, and planets. Before it's all done, y'all gon' all understand it like
y'all can't come in here. I'm Chuck Berry.
Says he's Chuck Berry.
You don't believe that, just believe what you wanna.
Chuck Berry's a country and western singer.
Alright.
okay, what's up? She said, speak like it's coming straight from the gutter. Observe the terms that betray with one another. Like, what's good, what's poppin', what's crackin'? What it is, how you livin', what's happening? Work sold in the slave same back then. The playground chants with little girls clapping. Blackjack Johnson, NYC, R-O-C-K-I-N-G. Sun and the moon, Earth, stars, the planet. Before it's all done, y'all can all understand it. Blackjack Johnson, NYC, R-O-C-K-I-N-G. Sun and the moon, Earth, stars, the planet, 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 planet.
Yasiin Bey, Chuck Berry, Ghetto Rock, from the Yasiin Gay, Y-A-S-I-I-N-G-A-Y-E, Yasiin Gay, free download, folks. Pick it up. You can continue to listen to Iggy Azalea and Little Bootsy if you want to. You can try to do that. We're going to give you the real, folks. I'm sorry. That groove was infectious. We're going to give you the real. Urban alternative, Afro-punk, black rock, progressive hip-hop, blues, acid jazz, jazz. We're going to give you everything that conventional radio absolutely refuses to give you because they refuse to collapse, as the great captain has talked about, collapsing the wave. It is what it is to get into. Going back once again, I just want to shout out 11-year-old Romarni Wilfred from Loom Grove, Romford, across the pond, who, according to this article, thanks to Sergio Mims, BlackYouthProject.com, young Master Wilfred scored higher than Stephen Hawking, Bill Gates, and Albert Einstein on a recent Mensa test, 11 years old. Child from the UK. What would happen if we really, really, really started to promote this young man and other young men and women, as opposed to looking at a half-naked Rihanna walking down the red carpet? Even though I must confess I did happen to see a half-naked Rihanna in a see-through dress, and she was quite fetching, even though she is at the core a minstrel. But hey, my reptilian mind, my reptilian brain, it is what it is. But I'm being half facetious, Captain, but the reality is we do have to start to promote these folks, put them above, because what this young man could potentially do far outweighs someone singing about umbrellas and so forth. I want to talk about Arsenio Hall. Let's go to something a little bit lighter. Arsenio Hall, actor, comedian, talk show host. Unfortunately, his show was canceled. And what makes it more troubling is that he was initially given the green light for a second season at close to the top of the year. I think in February of this year, he was told that, okay, you're good to go for a second season. Now that has been revoked. We're hearing low ratings. He wasn't able to build his audience. Funny how everything is tangentially related, dovetailing back to what the captain was talking about. But in order for black culture, I'm going to be more specific. I would say in the macro argument, that in order for culture to survive, we need to start promoting certain things. But to be micro, in order for black culture to survive, we need to have our own imprint and not to the whims of the larger society to a certain degree. Because what you're noticing is that in late night, we're not seeing minority representation. We're not seeing women. Because Chelsea Handler, she's losing her show. I think perhaps she's a little too outspoken, maybe a little too edgy. I'm not really a big supporter of hers, but I'm looking at the big picture. We're looking at a white male domination for late night. And when there, when any time the discussion of the late night wars was being put out there, Arsenio, 98% of the time, was not even mentioned. That was a problem for me. They would mention everybody except Arsenio Hall. But if you go into it even deeper, folks, we're talking about a dearth of real black entertainment at this point. We're getting entertainment with a black face on the cheap. If you go to Media Takeout, and I hate to say, if you go to Media Takeout, you will notice these bargain basement celebrities, these reality stars, are put out there, the Portia Williams and so forth, they're put out there as legitimate stars. That's what's being fed to you. So the level of talent that we were accustomed to for the last damn near 100 years, or even going before that, but let's say in the modern era, let's say for the 20th century, we're not getting that anymore. They're not, if you're going to go into conspiracy, they're not giving you that level of talent. You're getting folks that are just ripping off wigs, cursing at the camera, practically defecating at the camera. I kid you not. Look at one of the old episodes of Flavor of Love, and I said it the way I said it, defecating on camera, because that happened. So they're giving you complete minstrelsy. So how is someone like Arsenio going to compete when we don't even have our own universe of black talent anymore, because where's our music talent? Where's that? All we see, that's it. And even that has degraded. I mean, I don't know why we're not really talking about this, qualifying it, quantifying it. But if you really, really take a hard look at the state of many different issues in the black community, but I'm just going to one, entertainment. There's entertainment, education, science, whatever. But in this case, even in entertainment, we appear to be lacking. Or rather, we're not exposing it. Because I'm thinking about Sergio Mims' site, Shadow and Act, courtesy of IndieWire. It is the antithesis of the minstrel stuff that we always talk about. But there's got to be a format, a vehicle, a universe where we see all these people. Maybe if Arsenio had come into the game the second time around and tried to deconstruct that format the way that he did to a certain degree the first time around, you know, he came out from 89 to 94. He had a five-year run. But it seemed as if old habits die hard. And he started to interview some of the same minstrel folk 20 years later. Maybe if he tapped into some of this alternative media, tapped into the Issa Rae's and the Afropunk people, shouting out Jocelyn Cooper, tapping into all these talents, going to someone like Sergio Mims, going to Tambe Obinson, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, the gentleman who works with Mr. Mims. If he tapped in to all of that content, because that's what the 21st century represents. It represents media and content. There's a whole world, people, that need to be exposed. But he went into kind of tired tropes. If you're going to go out on a high note, but I think that he didn't bother to deconstruct that. Whereas hip hop was something new 20 some odd years ago, theoretically something new, and he exposed all of his culture. He needed to do that again, and he didn't. And on top of that, we don't have a universe of our own, because BET doesn't count. It doesn't. It doesn't count. So it's you know, you fail to plan, you plan to fail. That's it. I lament the passing of his show. I really do. I remember the first incarnation of the Arsenio Hall show rather fondly. But I also saw the trend that he seemed to be kind of sort of going back to the same old, same old. It's a more expanded landscape. The competition was stiff back in his day. It's stiff even to a higher degree, and you're not deconstructing the genre. You're not deconstructing the format. That's my opinion. Captain, what are your thoughts on that? And then we'll move along.
Well, I'm going to channel BA, Black Achievement. Years ago when we had Soul Train, even though that came on once a week.
Deconstruction.
All right. What we had was, remember Afro Sheen? We all had the Afro Sheen. You had black products, black advertising, taking care of paying the bills for the show. So essentially, you know, when the network says, well, these are your numbers, and the advertiser says, no problem, all right, I'll pay it. It's not a problem because I'm hitting my demographic. It's okay. So that show could run for a very, very, very long time. So now when you have an Arsenio Hall show, you start off and your numbers are great. Then they start to decline. The executives come in and say, these are the numbers. You know what that means, Arsenio? We can't charge these people up the rectum. They're willing to pay this, but I want to charge them this. You understand? It's not working. So you have to go now. That's pretty much how it works. Now, again, if we had a system and we had a few, you need more than one now because it's on several nights a week, you know. You need more than one. If we had a few black companies willing to pay the advertising dollars that they wanted to charge, you understand, you could keep the show on, you see? But that's not the case. So that being said, Arsenio Hall, going into it, should have realized the landscape has changed. Let me diversify the show a little differently so I can get different type of viewers in watching. So when the network comes back and says, okay, these are the numbers, you're doing well, you're staying steady, we can keep you going because I could charge the advertisers up the rectum so we could keep you going on. This is why at times you see good shows just drop right off. You see good shows on TV, they go, this is gone. Because I can't charge the advertisers these numbers. The advertiser will only pay these numbers. This is why come September, you see all of these shows, they throw it on the wall and see what sticks there. Some of them good, some of them bad. And sometimes you lose good shows because you have to have the numbers. 312, we see you, and I know you want to come in, 312. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, we know who this is, and I would want him to come in and kind of provide more info. This is Sergio. I just want to mention one more thing before we bring him in, that, you know, we're working behind the scenes as far as creating our own universe, and there's quite a few universes on the internet, on the cyberwebs, and it's unfortunate that we are not providing, and I'm saying we as far as the black collective, we're not really providing a way to really exploit in a good way, not, you know, in a bad way, but to exploit some of this alternative content, because the bottom line is, as I just stated, the late night landscape has changed. It's 20 years post his first show, and you've got to create a spectacle nowadays with these ADD folks, ADHD folks. You have to create a spectacle. And when you mention Soul Train, which is a good example, Soul Train came out in 1970. It really was revolutionary because, as you said, you had Afro Sheen. It wasn't trying to be anything different than what it was as far as an inherently, intrinsically embedded black culture. And you had other ethnicities looking in for the curiosity factor. This is a cultural phenomenon we're looking into. With this latest Arsenio thing, we're so far removed from true black culture now, or rather, we're looking at a certain slice that's all about the minstrel stuff. The minstrel stuff just, you know, there's always work at the post office. There's always work at being a clown. But this alternative provides on his website, and what we do at AfroNerd, that's what he should have been tapping into. Get some black rock stars on there. Get a whole new scene. Janelle Monáe should have been doing a thing. It should have been a whole different exposure thing instead of listening to Ice Cube 25 years later. No one cares. That's it. Let's go to our friend, Mr. Mims.
Hey, this is Sergio. I did write a piece. Both what you said is absolutely true about Arsenio Hall. I was never the biggest fan of his. I really was not. But 20 years ago, as you mentioned before, there was only two other late-night shows. It was Johnny Carson and it was Letterman. That's it. So he comes along, he was a breath of fresh air. He was getting people on a show that you would never see on TV before, like Ice Cube.
Johnny Carson
could never have Ice Cube on the show. Now Ice Cube is doing skits with Conan O'Brien.
That's true. Yep.
And what happened was Arsenio Hall was out of the game for way too long. Way too long. He didn't change. You hit an absolutely valid point. And people have we have written about Arsenio Hall. People have commented on that. Why didn't he go Afro-punk? Why didn't he try to go some other way? Forget rap. Forget hip-hop. Go in alternative direction. He didn't do that. Part of the reason is that I'm not sure how much control he had over his own show. Number two, the reason he couldn't get guests is because they're not going to appear on a show unless it has good ratings. So if you want the big name stars, they're not coming because they'd rather go on Letterman. They'd rather go on Stephen Colbert. They'd rather go on some show that's hip, that's happening, that gets good ratings. Or sitting on the fuck with Vivica A. Fox because that's about the best he can get.
Yeah, exactly.
But he couldn't get people better. He could not. That's one of the big problems when you do a talk show. If you don't produce the ratings, you can't get the stars.
You know what?
What happened with his situation was that CBS originally renewed the show for a second season.
Yeah, we mentioned that.
And then what happened was that this week they canceled it. And what happened was they renewed the show, but when they went to the local stations to see if they could pick it up, they wouldn't. They said, no, the ratings are too low. We don't want to pick it up. Or we'll pick them up. We put them on at a later time. So CBS had been there and turned around and said, we're sorry, we can't renew the show. Now, I wrote today that Arsenio Hall supposedly is in talks to renew a show on cable. He has turned him down because he's too old. The demographics are too old. OWN says they're not interested, which I don't think it'd be a bad idea if he wanted an OWN, being an audience that OWN doesn't get, males and young people, supposedly. Which means that probably he's talking to BET, which is not a good sign.
He might as well just get a coffin and just close the lid. You get a better audience
exactly.
There.
That's not a good sign. You know, BET is where on the University of Chicago campus, the students like to wear T-shirts that say, University of Chicago, where fun goes to die.
Wow.
Well, for BET, you could say, well, it's where careers go to die. You don't want to go on BET, you know. That's like, that's the nail in the coffin. But, you know, Arsenio, you know, maybe he had a shot. Queen Latifah has done very well. Her show was instantly renewed. Her ratings are very good, even though her show is nothing special at all. She's in the daytime.
Sergio, the issue is that it's daytime television. Daytime has a whole feminine thing going on.
It's a different thing.
You know, they seem to be able to tolerate a lot of the same. The View is the same as The Talk, as the same as Wendy Williams, as the same as Queen Latifah. It's the same damn show.
Right. So I think that what he should have done, personally, I think if he wanted to come back, he should have gone to cable first and done something really out the box. cable is more experimental. They're more trust things. And with the kind of ratings he got, he could have survived on cable. The kind of ratings he got would have made him a success on cable TV. Would have made him the end thing.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, again, I just said it, but when you really go into it, he literally was getting the same guest he had 25 years ago.
Exactly. That was the problem. Right, exactly.
So it ended up being a year-long or six-month-long reunion show, which it really should not have been. He should have went completely left. Even though I may not support some of these artists, theoretically, I think for the weird factor, as opposed to you talked about Vivica Fox, he should have went to, what's her name, Laverne Cox, the transsexual?
Yeah, right, Laverne Cox, right.
I mean, he might have had her on there. I don't know, but he should have got her on there. He should have got the other one that really was like a woman. What's her name? She was on Bell Hooks. She had gotten into an argument with what's the CNN host that's leaving. I can't think of his name right now.
But can you explain something? I sound like naive. I'm really confused. It's Laverne Fox. Okay,
Fox.
Is that a man dressed as a woman? Fox. Or is that a man who had a sex change operation? Which one is
it? I think it's a transgender person. It's not like RuPaul.
So he was a guy who's now kind of like a woman.
The Laverne, yeah. From my understanding, listen, it could be – I don't know this world. That's the wrong person. But he or she could either be pre-op or post-op. But that's still different than what – that's still different than what RuPaul was. RuPaul, who you don't even see doing that anymore. RuPaul just comes out as a gay man in a suit.
Right.
His act was that of a drag queen.
Right.
Laverne's representing a whole transgender thing. But that's very much, you know, rightfully or wrongfully, that's very much of today. He should have made his show into some kind of Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey.
Well, you see, that brings up the question, like, for example, I mean, how much control did he have on the show? Number two, he was stuck in the past. Now, I don't know if that was his decision or the people who were producing the show, but were they afraid that, gee, if you have somebody like Laverne Cox on, it will drive away the audience? I mean, that's what made Arsenio Hall originally 20 years ago cutting edge, because he had people that you wouldn't have, that wouldn't show on TV before.
He had Tupac on.
Also,
you know, maybe even the location. Maybe he should have done it out of Chicago, or maybe in Florida somewhere, or maybe even in New York. He could have done it in New York. You know, maybe there's a whole bunch of factors as to why this thing didn't work, but to go to BET, and BET's not cutting edge. He's going to have a whole bunch of reality stars coming. I mean, the whole thing just wasn't about.
Oh, by the way,
Hold on, let me finish my point. The whole thing is that he wasn't revealing anything unique or different. That was what really was the death knell of a show. Go ahead.
Right. In terms of reality show stars, the reason why there's so many reality show stars today is what I call time and money. What I mean by that is that reality show stars are really cheap. They're very cheap. Even, who's this one, Nene Lynx, the one, you know, the kind of odd-shaped woman, you know, she's odd-shaped. She gets, at the most, $1 million. Now, that may sound like a lot of money, but in the world of television, that's very cheap, extremely cheap, right? Mm. Which means that people like other people who are not as popular got a whole lot less. Number two is time, because to get talent, real talent, it takes time to develop that. They don't have time anymore. Time is gone. So, therefore, how can we get somebody who's just willing to make a fool of themselves as fast as possible?
Well, Serge, we're going to have to move along because we've got a lot of topics to get to. But I just want to say this in closing, that, I think the industry in general is suffering this way.
but I think it's heavily concentrated with black culture right now. The predominant majority culture still seems to have a place for musicians. They still have a place for actors and actresses and glamour. And on the black side, there seems to be 99-cent store, bargain basement style, talent. It just seems to be very obvious that, you know, I agree with you. But we seem to be, you know, Kim Kardashian is unto herself, her own industry, but she doesn't represent the totality of what's going on in the predominant culture. With black folk, we have a whole swath of reality crap overtaking the legitimate people. So, I mean, it is what it is until somebody raises their hand and say, hey, what's going on here? Serge, as always, man, we appreciate you coming through. We'll probably have to go into this deeper toward the weekend, but we have a lot of other topics to get to. So, again, folks, right. Sergio Mims, go to Shadow and Act, IndieWire, the best stuff going. All right, Captain, I'm going to forego going to a groove because time constraints, it's, you know, under an hour already.
Yes, sir.
Entertainment stuff we can talk about forever.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to get into briefly is I want to talk about Donald Sterling, and I do mean briefly. Anytime you think this thing is going to go away, it just keeps on expanding and contracting. To get to the quick rub, we all know that this gentleman in quotes said some rather unenlightened things about black folk, brown folk specifically, while he was dating one that embodied both those ethnicities. Talk about the irony of that. And so he's about to lose his team, but for a hefty sum of $2 billion. I think he was trying to sue the NBA. He's foregone that. Now he's not going to do that. So it seems like he's going to meekly go away, theoretically. And $2 billion helps with that. But on our side of the woods, we see that his young mistress, the initial V, V Stiviano, that she got into an altercation a few days ago, sometime late last week, physically was assaulted, called the N-word. One of the gentlemen that was responsible for that, the perpetrators, he's come forward. So this is just a never-ending thing. Now we're hearing that there is a second mistress of color. So we know what Donald Sterling likes under the sheets. He's very, very old school, very antebellum of him.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
He's really like a slave master.
That's right.
You know? I mean, this is some stuff. This is a history lesson up close. There was talk of senility, Alzheimer's, but who believes that? That's being thrown against the wall. He visited a black church where he was received in a very warm, cordial way, standing ovations, clapping. I mean, we gotta deconstruct the black church too, Captain. I mean, please, really, isn't there a minister out there? I'll find his name in a minute. There's video footage of him talking about hoes ain't loyal. These hoes, that's what he said in some kind of convoluted sermon. He said, these hoes ain't loyal, channeling Chris Brown's latest release. And I don't mean he's recently released from jail, his actual record, hoes ain't loyal, quote unquote. So you have a minister doing this. I'm saying to myself, Captain, when is this going to stop? People are going to realize that we have a whole swath of folks who look like you, look like us, and are just completely noncommittal about black progress. This is where you're going to seek some kind of solace, to seek some kind of spiritual enlightenment, and you have a minister that says hoes ain't loyal in some convoluted sermon channeling Chris Brown? I mean, really? You know, so you know, we see that this man gets $2 billion from a $12 million investment. The first mistress sold her soul to listen to all kinds of vitriol and racist talk. And the second mistress, she is going in on all this behavior. But as long as trinkets and baubles were being exchanged, it's all good. When it stops, now you're offended. So I've never seen a faction. Now, I'm not going to say all people of color, obviously, but there's a faction of black folk that are willing to take all kinds of degradation. It's in the music. It's in the theatrical releases. I'm losing my train of thought. In these churches, I mean, I was going to say altar. At the altar, at the podium. I mean, everywhere you go, people are selling their souls for a couple of pennies. I mean, this is ridiculous. I want to read a little bit about this second Sterling mistress, and I'm going to move along. But if what she says has any truth to it, she's also, well, I find her far more attractive than Stiviano, who I think marred her looks. Actually, Stiviano, before all this surgery, looked pretty attractive. And as I said, less racially ambiguous. Not that there's anything wrong with being racially ambiguous. I'm for that too. Look how you want to look. Look and promote how God made you, if you believe in the theory of God. But with this woman, she's 100% to me. But where's our moral character, Captain? No one has any. Sterling doesn't have any morality. Stiviano has no morality. There's no moral component. There's no moral barometer. So let me read this from The Root. I'm not a big fan of The Root also. The Root is rabidly progressive, one-sided, just as narrow-minded as Fox, as is The Root. Well, anyway, Donald Sterling may have to answer more questions regarding racist remarks from another alleged mistress, Maiko Maya King, who is suing the embattled Los Angeles Clippers owner, alleging she was fired as an assistant after she rejected a stream of racist and sexist taunts. On Monday, King, 40, filed the lawsuit claiming that she had a romantic relationship with Sterling between 2005 and 2011 when she worked as an assistant. During that time, she claimed Sterling would ask her to talk about past sexual encounters in order to arouse him, and offered her bonuses to help him sexually. King claims in the lawsuit that she was approached by Sterling only after he became bored sexually with his other assistant, V. Stiviano, according to TMZ. King also alleges that during her employment, Sterling asked her, how could you be married to a black man, referencing her African-American former husband, and why would you bring black people into the world, referring to her kids with her ex. When Sterling became upset with King, he would allegedly tell her to move back to the ghetto with a black man. And when he was courting King, he allegedly stated, I want to take you out of the black world and put you into the white world, according to the lawsuit and TMZ. Just one quick thing. The New York Daily News spoke with King's ex-husband, Wayne King, who blamed Sterling for the demise of his marriage. I don't like the band. She told me all the racist things he said, but he had billions and I was just a stuntman. He broke up my marriage, Wayne King, 49, told the Daily News Monday. Whatever.
Everybody has a price, allegedly. I mean, this is just a bunch. This is just a bunch of just crap. These are people that their moral character. They need to be run out of town. This Ms. King, this Diviano, certainly Mr. Sterling, the whole lot of them. They've got to go. And the NAACP, the California branch as well, because they were willing. They had their hands out too, knowing full well how this man conducted himself. And as long as the check did not bounce, it's all good. Now, that is an aspect that you're not hearing on conventional radio. They're really not talking about this. There's so much shame that we don't really want to. Like, I don't even know if it's shame, because if you mentioned it, maybe it would cause shame. And that's what I would prefer. I would prefer that we start shaming people. And that's going to go into another topic, Captain. You know where I'm going to go with young Miss Townsend. Phenomenal tennis player. But I'm going to go to a groove. I'm going to talk about this. But we've got to get back to shaming. I repeat, we have to get back to shaming. Now, there's a whole thing, a whole progressive mindset that's very pervasive in minority communities. Black community, the black community notwithstanding, you can't shame people. You can't really tell anything. You really can't tell the truth. You've got to be politically correct. You've got to lie because it doesn't make you feel well. Make me feel good. Make me feel. Where's my Halle Berry clip when I need it? Where's my. Come on. Halle, excuse me, Harry. Halle Berry. Where is this thing? Her infamous plea to Billy Bob Thornton. From Monsters Ball. I mean, this is very much about how a large faction of here we go.
Oh, you make me feel good. Can you make me feel good? Can you make me feel good? Can you make me feel good?
I just need to know.
The year was 2002. The place, Hollywood. My dream was to make it on the silver screen. My first audition was for the lead in a little movie called Monsters Ball. Make me feel good. Make me feel good.
It is what it is. What do you think? I mean, Captain, what is this before we go to a groove? Really? These are horrible people. The whole lot of them. I feel nothing. I feel nothing. I know I'm supposed to be putting up the black fist and rah-rah and all that kind of stuff. The whole lot of them, these people, you know, if you take Sterling out of the picture to a certain degree and focus on these women and their moral fiber, how a real, sound, morally, highly moral, highly principled person, the money wouldn't factor into it. You insult me. You get the middle finger. These people, they let all this stuff go up until a point. Cap?
Well, morality is out the window. You know, you can buy morality, as you already see. So, you know, you said it all. You said it all right there. So there really isn't anything to add to that situation, nor take away. That's just what it is. You know, now they need.
All right.
Maybe we need to have moral police.
I think so. I think we do. Listen, I would like talk about programming. We need a black fox. I don't know if I've actually said that. Maybe I did, but I don't know if I've said it more succinctly. I know there's this. I know it's fashionable to take a dump on Fox television. I mean, well, not Fox television, Fox News specifically. I don't agree with everything Fox News puts out, even though I'm a conservative. I don't agree with everything. A lot of things I disagree with Fox. But I do appreciate that there's a faction of folks, let's say, dare I say, white folks, rightfully or wrongfully, the concept that they don't agree with everything. They don't agree with everything. We need to get to that point. There needs to be such a thing as a black fox. They really do. There really needs to be such a thing as a black fox, a black version, where at least the world the world is being told, you know what? We all don't fall lockstep with each other. We don't always agree with everything. Things have to be hashed out. Things have to be deconstructed. You know, maybe myself, the captain, shouting out David Carroll. There's a few folks out there on the interwebs that have a similar message. A similar message. Oh, you can go to the folks, of course, the obvious, the Armstrong Williamses, the Larry Elders and all those folks, Dr. Cosby, whatever. Don Lemon, hell, he's on CNN, but he blacks out every once in a while, and he's put into a corner somewhere. We see that Stacey Dash has a gig at Fox, and people are clowning that. I thought it was a pretty good look, personally. Why not? Why not? Do we all have to think alike? Because look where it's getting us. All right. Going to a classic groove, a bit of psychedelic soul in the true sense of the word. This is Rotary Connection, Respect. A cover of Aretha Franklin's Respect, actually. Rotary Connection. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
Don't you know I got it?
Again, this is the Midweek in Review edition of AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk. And that was Maya Rudolph's late mama, late great mama, Minnie Riperton, extremely talented and tragic figure because she died very young. I believe she died in her mid-30s.
And she had a high octave range. I forgot the exact number, but Minnie Riperton was a force to contend with. And her daughter maintains that tradition, not necessarily as a songstress, but as someone who's in the entertainment field and making a name for herself. But again, that particular group, Rotary Connection, was highly experimental in the sense that it was true psychedelic soul during the late 60s when there was that was, I guess, the first or second incarnation of what we call now rock, black rock or Afropunk. The precursor to what we see today is that psychedelic soul. And there were a number of groups that kind of went into this hazy, flower child, very psychedelic, obviously, psychedelic soul, very psychedelic kind of thing. I'm thinking of other groups, but Fifth Dimension. Fifth Dimension was another group that also was in that same genre. So one of my favorite cuts, Rotary Connection, Respect, Minnie Riperton. All right, before the break, and let me give out the call-in number. Feel free to give us a buzz if you like. 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I was talking about an extremely talented young woman. I believe she's just 18 years of age. And she is a tennis player. I think she's in the same trajectory as the Williams sister. She's a woman of color, young woman of color. But the side issue that's making her somewhat notable beyond her athletic prowess is her physicality. She is she's obese or definitely heavy set. She doesn't have the athletic figure one would expect if they're an athlete and playing tennis. And, you know, what we talked about before, what we just talked about, all this stuff is so tangentially connected. When we talked about people not admitting anything and collapsing, as the captain talked about, collapsing quantum realities, quantum waves, we are allowing a certain level of obesity to be the norm, even though you're an athlete. This young woman is an athlete, and we are applauding her, or some are, or the media, and I guess some of her followers, are saying that, you know, for those who are critiquing her not having an athletic build, and she is an athlete, it's called body shaming. So I'm confused. I'm confused on this whole aspect of shame. I can say many years ago there was a thing legitimately in the larger community and especially in old school black community that you were shamed. Out of wedlock birth was a shame. Perhaps coveting your neighbor's wife, even though people did that, or being divorced even, there's certain things that just didn't fly right publicly. You know, how you, your personal appearance, your decorum. If you see old footage of vintage footage of people cross racially, but let's say black folk, they were sharp as a tack. Even casually, you would see a young man walking around in 1955, 1960 in a sport coat or something and dress slacks. You wouldn't see these pants sagging where you see a young man's underwear. You didn't see that. And jewelry and earrings and all kinds of wild stuff. Let me go to a quick clip on this Taylor Townsend, that's the young woman's name, and this whole sense of fat shaming, which I agree with. I agree she should be shamed because you could potentially – you're talking about a career that could potentially net you in the millions. The least you can do if your vocation is to be an athlete is to have an athletic build. If you're a swimmer, oftentimes you look like a swimmer. If you're a football player, guess what?
you look like you play football. If you play basketball, you know what? You get pulled to the side. Hey, you look like you play basketball. On your physique. This woman looks like she's working behind the counter of Burger King with her weight. She doesn't look like a tennis pro. But it's all good. It's all good, allegedly. Here we go. Hold on.
She's the teen tennis phenom commanding the court.
Taylor Townsend's star is on the rise.
And the world's attention. After both Williams sisters lost at the French Open on Wednesday, 18-year-old Taylor Townsend beat the top-ranked French woman in front of her hometown crowd in her very first Grand Slam.
I mean, I did my little victory dance. I was so happy, but it feels really great.
Though she's a fresh face for many, it's not the first time Townsend has been in the spotlight. In 2012, when Townsend was ranked the best junior girls player in the world, the U.S. Tennis Association tried to bench her, refusing to pay for any travel. It said for health reasons, but many believe that was code for saying Townsend was overweight.
It helped me believe in myself more, and it also opened my eyes to say, you know, you're not going to look like everyone else.
Townsend's not the first female tennis star to face criticism about her weight, including players like Lindsay Davenport, who became number one while one of the biggest players on the women's tour. Townsend says focusing on her body actually helped her become a better player.
It actually turned out to be a huge strength for me. I started working really hard, trying to get in the best shape that I could be for my body.
She's a living example of someone who has heard all that criticism and dealt with it and used it to fuel her to play better tennis.
A young player now focused on winning, not her weight. For Good Morning America, Mara Esquivel-Campo, ABC News, New York.
I love their little dance that she did.
Yeah. You know what that's called? That's the nay-nay. Yeah, you got to get you on that, George.
All right, Captain, I'd like to hear what you think about this. Am I way off base? You know, can you critique someone? Maybe it's a little too personal to critique someone's body. I just think that if your body is literally your business and you are a athlete, that is your vocation, that is your career, is it out of bounds to expect someone to kind of sort of – and also if you're actually – you know, tennis is a physical, demanding sport. You have to run around. Why isn't she looking like someone who runs around? Your thoughts, sir.
All right. I'm going to look at this empirically, from an empirical standpoint and from a scientific standpoint. And the two are going to interact synergistically to raise the information to a higher level.
And throw in financial there, too, and a financial aspect, too, future financial. I'm just saying.
All right. Serena Williams, height, 5'9", 155 pounds. The great Serena Williams. Age, 32. Venus Williams, that's the sister. Height, 6'1", 165 body weight. 6'1 now, 6'1", 165 body weight. Age, 33. Now for the uninitiated, Sloane Stephens, who's ranked number 19 in the world. Height, these players are all black, by the way, all black. I'm using all black players, black athletes pertaining to tennis. Sloane Stephens, ranked number 19 in the world. Height, 5'7", age 21, weighs 134 pounds. Taylor Townsend, age 18, weight 170, height 5'7". Now, that being said, in my opinion, she's a gifted athlete. But based on all of this evidence, I think she would be even better if she dropped based on this evidence right there. That's just the reality of it. That's just the reality of it. Now, once you're a public figure, just as we see as the mayor of New Jersey, who's not an athlete, right? And it shouldn't matter the way he looks. It shouldn't matter at all, but it does matter.
You're onto something.
You're a public figure. Because you're a public figure. You open yourself up to be body shamed. You see, Obama as the president looks slim. You understand? Bill Clinton had a certain look. Athletes in general have a certain look. Once you're a public figure, you're out there. People will criticize you if you don't look the right way, even when you're effective. The only fat people that are very effective, that perform at a very high level on a regular basis over a long period of time, are sumo wrestlers. And we know what happens. They die young because of their girth. You know, they don't live to like 60 and 70 years of age or 80 years of age. Football players, linemen, offensive linemen, who at times are very athletic with their girth. They can run very fast, simply put. But after a period of time, once they leave the league, they are told to lose the weight as an offensive lineman. Because a lot of times these guys are 320, 330, 340 pounds. It's not a good look. And if you're sedentary after you retire, that you could easily end up 500 pounds. You're not going to make it, chances are, if you're 500 pounds for too long. So I think being that she's young and if she plans to be playing tennis for a very long time, she should drop some weight, and I think she will perform better. And also, too, you know, as we age, once we hit about 30, you have a tendency, we have a tendency for it to be harder to lose weight. So this is something she wants to get on top of now, in my opinion. That's just how I feel about it. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
Yeah, you know, when I was talking about the financial aspect of it, again, we're talking about clothing and, heck, you know, if you join one of these weight loss franchises, we're literally talking about millions of dollars that could be put forth her way if she were to have lose that weight. I mean, we saw that Jennifer Hudson, now she's a singer-actress, but she's in an arena where there's a certain physical presence that's expected, and she rose to the occasion. I mean, she just did it. And that's not even, I mean, it's you know, listen, sports and entertainment are intertwined more so than ever nowadays, realistically speaking. But you saw even on the entertainment side, she had to do what she had to do. Now we're seeing with this woman who is in doing something that one could argue was more overtly strenuous, more overtly active. I mean, it's a sport. You know, I mean, I'm just going to the basics, Captain. If you call yourself an athlete, isn't it expected for you to look athletic? If you're trying to sell athletic gear and that kind of thing, you need to look a certain way in order for you to sell products. I mean, there's a whole bunch of commerce that's connected to athletics that has a lot to do. I mean, you know, basketball players look a certain way when it comes to selling jerseys and sports jackets and sweatpants and sweat outfits and that kind of thing. I mean, I saw this young lady. She had a gunt. I mean, really? Really? I mean, she had like a beer belly. And you're playing tennis on at a high level? Matter of fact, her coaches, I mean, she's been out here a couple of years. When she was 15, 16, and in a certain trajectory, were really reticent about her playing. They almost blocked her from playing. That made news about 2 years ago. Because I was going, and I remember it, but in researching it, I came across this again, that she was essentially, she had to get approval to play because they were her team. But and I'm getting, again, these are her people now. This is what you talk about. You have a culture that is excusing everything. Everything is PC, Captain. We can't be honest. And you have a culture that's going to appease your whim, not tell you the truth, and even the people that were in her camp, we really don't feel comfortable having you participate in a strenuous event until we can clear you and really get your weight down. And there were people to coddle her and say, no, you are in another protected class. You're being obese is on par with being black, being gay, being Latino, being a woman. Now you are a
quote-unquote, fat person, and that is to be protected and not to be shamed. I'm at a loss for words, Captain. I'm at a loss for words. This is what's out here. Somebody's got to tell the truth. I just expect an athlete to look athletic. I'm sorry. Sorry if that sounds cruel or weird. Moving right along, this is something that I want to mention before we get into the Penny Dreadful discussion, because this is something we're going to have to unpack more succinctly with the great uncanny Daryl B for Saturdays. And remember, folks, we have a show coming up Saturday at 6 o'clock where we really go deeper into pulp/pop discussions. So I'm going to talk about Showtime's new series, new period goth UK series, Penny Dreadful. But it just as came around, I was ignoring it. But now that I've actually seen the actual picture, I'm more disturbed than ever. Captain, I sent you this link before the broadcast. I know it was cutting it close. With Shona Carter Brooks, newlywed. Did you see this thing with her infant, one-month-year-old infant, that she's dragging down the aisle on the back of her wedding dress? You see this?
Oh, it's terrible. Yes, I saw it. Definitely did see it.
I mean, I don't particularly, like to use the term ratchet. I'm more comfortable with lower tier. But I may have to actually use the word ratchet in this one. This is ratchet. You know? And we can't call it out. We can't. We have a generation of folk that just are so intent to lower the bar. Lower the bar than ever. Then no one can get underneath this bar so low. An ant can't get below the bar so low, that it's so low. Let me read this briefly, and then we'll move along. Again, go to the root. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to put this in the chat room. You're more than welcome to check it out. Let's see. Yes, it's in the chat room. The link to the root, again. I'm not really trying to advertise the root so wholeheartedly, but they have this story up there, and you have a picture of this young lady who, well, first of all, going back to what I said before, I was always taught from the Oracle and from the Wedger that you really would like to be married before you have a child, that you would like not to have a child out of wedlock, that ideally you would like to do that. But, you know, it's becoming more and more common cross-racially, but intensified in communities of color, where we just do this. You know, your 10-year-old is there with you as you finally marry his mother. After, and you're maybe the middle child. I mean, it's that way. It's that way. And that, to me, is the greatest slap in the face toward black women from black men, is that you can, and it's not uncommon, but if you do see a couple that has had children together, multiple children, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on, and it's the same mother, it is the family, but there's no marriage between them, and then after the third or fourth child, somehow you deem the woman worthy enough to have to take her hand in marriage. But again, you went through four children to make that decision. So you finally decided to do that. That's problematic within itself. And I've spoken about this before. But now we're seeing a young woman who had this child. It's 1 month in age. And it's literally on the floor being held up by the tail end of her wedding dress. She's dragging the child behind her on the floor as an ornament, not unlike some kind of bow, but it's a human being
that she's dragging as she goes to the altar. And you're looking at this thing, and it's just, you know, people are talking about calling up child services because her judgment is already questionable 1 month into the game. The child is barely here, and already you're doing goofy nonsense. Let me read this. Let me move along. I'm just putting it out there. But these people need to be shamed into oblivion. Every time she comes out the door, she needs to be shamed and say, cut this nonsense out. Knock it off. Here we go. I'm going to go into this briefly from the root. On one level, I can see how Shona Carter Brooks got it twisted. Carter Brooks is the Tennessee bride who decided that the something new, in quotes, to include in her wedding day wardrobe would be her one-month-old daughter. So she fastened the infant in the folds of her bridal gown as if she was adding a talbot or taffeta sash and dragged her down the aisle. She also preserved the moment on Facebook where it went viral and where she wound up being vilified for possibly endangering her child and ridiculed for her tacky taste. Carter Brooks' pathetic defense to the overwhelming criticism was a barely literate post about the baby being covered by Christ and about God being on their side. No, if you believe in the theory of God, you would not have that child outside of that marriage. You would have had that child post the wedding, not pre. So, but you're going to do whatever you're going to. You're going to do what you want to do, which is the culture we're in. And you're going to provide cover for it. You're going to make excuses. But to drag an infant on the ground, God forbid something happens, you fall backwards. I mean, it's just dumb on so many levels. Wow. Captain, I mean, it just never stops. There's an industry for this. This is an industry. Our lowliness, our wretchedness, our ratchetness is an industry. It's ongoing. It never stops. This woman should make major news and should be told publicly, you are an ass. Maybe a week-long special, repeatedly being told, you are an ass. I mean, this talk of child services is so stupid. You know, she said it was barely literate. I mean, barely literate people do stuff like this, I guess. The cognition, Captain, the cognition. Anything else on this? I can't take it. I give up.
Nope. Nothing to add to that one.
Really? All right. Moving along once again. I do want to talk about the criticism being levied against President Barack Obama, this officer in Afghanistan, sergeant in Afghanistan that was exchanged, an American soldier that was exchanged for five Taliban members. But before I get into that, before we go there, because we got about 15 minutes remaining or less, Sergeant Bergdahl is the young man's name. I actually want to talk about the spate of violence. I mean, we know shouting out Sergio Mims from Chirac, and I hate to even use the term Chirac. I'm not even I don't even like saying Chirac, but I can't think of any other word for what's going on where we're talking about multiple deaths, multiple shootings. You know, the summer is upon us, and every weekend we hear about 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 people being shot across the city But I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about local to where we are broadcasting. There is a horrific story, Captain. I know you know about this, of a Jack the Ripper-style criminal that stabbed three young people in a Brooklyn project. Two young people together, and the third was perhaps a week or two before the latest incident. But a six-year-old and a seven-year-old, male and female, the male died tragically. The female is hanging on. No provocation, not that you would expect a provocation for six- and seven-year-olds, but from my understanding, it's a summer day. They were telling the adults that they were going to get some kind of ice cream or some Italian ices or what have you. Very typical, very non-threatening. They take the elevator down. What's being said is that some weird, homeless monster stabs both children, unprovoked, obviously, just out of the blue, stabbed them, one near death, one to death, and now he's being linked to an 18-year-old young woman stabbed in the same way, and she's dead. And they can't find this guy. And it appears to be just another day in the projects, just another horrific incident. Now they're talking about, after the fact, getting some cameras in there. But see, listen, I told you my thought about, especially in Brooklyn. But even with projects, I mean, I know that Sergio's familiar with the Cabrini Green, which is no longer around. But those projects in Chicago were legendary. Legendary. And I just have a problem with project living in the sense of the projects in the 50s. You know, when you think of folks like Smokey Robinson and Dinah Ross, they came from the Detroit projects. Came from the Detroit projects. But those projects of the 50s, and they had problems, but those problems would be, you know, they would pale in comparison to what we see nowadays. But when these things came about in the 30s and 40s, I think 40s more specifically in the case of Cabrini Green, they were meant to be transitional. They didn't necessarily have that reputation that they have now. They were never meant to be generational. You used it as a launching pad for you to get home ownership, for you to get a better job, for you to move to another position. Now, you have people that are just stuck. They're just stuck, Captain. And the babies are literally, and I mean literally babies, are suffering. The elderly are suffering. And we can't seem to wrap around the notion that these places have to be really forced to be transitional. They have to be under close observation. They have to be surveilled. And we don't want to do that. You know, the community leaders don't want to do that. They'd rather be right than righteous. Because folks are dying. And to me, there needs to be an urgent intervention. Heavier police presence, maybe some kind of modified martial law where we have to get IDs upon entering. We have to know exactly who you are. You have to be stopped and frisked, something that is highly controversial in New York. But it appears necessary because these folks are literally trapped, prison-like conditions, and we're talking about working people. We're talking about elderly men and women, we're talking about children, and they're trapped with monsters schizophrenics, pedophiles, drug dealers. These are who these people are trapped with. And these type of things are not so coincidental. They're not so non-predictive or unpredictive. We know this is going on. We know these things have been going on for years. And it's a tragedy, and we seem to not be able to get around it. Now, when you open up the conversation even even larger, micro to macro, we're hearing even more nuttiness with this Wisconsin duo. You heard about these two young girls?
Yes, I did.
Two young white females that, well, you know what, let me go to a clip, let the clip explain it. But this is the wackiest, weirdest, I mean, again, the parenting is non-existent. Well, 12-year-olds, well, at 12, you are still having imaginary friends and being compelled to kill people as if it's not real. It's not real. Hold on. Let's go to this thing out of Wisconsin, the Slender Man. Slender Man is this imaginary internet cyber demon that compelled these two young girls to stab a quote-unquote friend, another female friend, 19 times. But she's living. She is living. Hold on.
12-year-old girl stabbed school friend 19 times to please creepy website character. Two young girls are facing up to 60 years in prison after they almost stabbed a school friend to death to please a fictional website character. The girls, Morgan Geezer and Anissa Weyer, both 12, are accused of luring their friend into a wooded area near Waukesha, Wisconsin, where they stabbed her multiple times. Reports said that the two girls were interested in a website called Creepypasta Wiki that talks about a mysterious fictional character known as Slender Man. The girls told police that they plotted for months to kill a friend in order to show their dedication to Slender Man. After the killing, they planned to walk to his mansion in the Nicolet National Forest.
Right,
they
folks,
said they invited
sure
their intended victim over for a sleepover and then lured her into the woods the next day to play hide and seek. During the game, the girls got cold feet before Geezer then allegedly attacked and stabbed the victim 19 times, leaving her with wounds to the torso, arms, and legs. The victim was later discovered by a cyclist after crawling to a nearby road. The victim is fighting for her life, but said to be in a stable condition, according to police. The girls appeared in court Monday on charges of attempted first-degree intentional homicide.
Running.
Okay. I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, it was running.
I don't know. Tail end, I just finally got it. I don't know what happened there. I hope I wasn't too intrusive. Were you able to get the gist of what's happening?
Of course.
Okay. All right. Two disturbed, highly disturbed young girls stabbed their friend, planned it for months, in order to prove that this imaginary figure, not unlike Lurch from Adam's Family, that's who the character is reminiscent of, Slender Man, they thought that if they killed this, if they killed this girl, it would bring Slender Man to life, as if you would want to bring some kind of demon to life, if that were possible. But they stabbed their friend. If you call, I don't know what kind of, you know, God forbid you have friends like this. We talked about Elliot Roger last week. We have the Slender Man girls. We have this Jack the Ripper-esque person on the loose. These stories are getting weirder and weirder. Why can't I speak? Weirder and weirder. What is this, Captain? I mean, has it always been this way, or is it just the times? To me, it seems like there is a thing. You didn't necessarily hear of school shootings like Columbine set that trend. But Columbine, you know, Columbine was the first that you really hear such a thing. Now it's happening with greater frequency. Something is going on. What do you say about that? We got about 3 minutes.
Well, you have a combination of a few things happening. And what I might say might be counterintuitive to what everyone's thinking, but let me give you the first part. You have cell phones, which have been proven to start to damage the young brain. You have Wi-Fi. You have GMO foods, also proven. You have bad parenting. You have some of these kids that are already psychotic drugs and everything else. That's a concoction for failure. Any little thing can push you over. So you have that happening. But now perception and reality at times could be two different things. Perception and reality can be two different things. According to the FBI statistics, not according to the captain, not according to AfroNerd, according to FBI statistics, crime since 1992 has dropped dramatically. And serious crime has dropped 40%. What is serious crime? Murder and rape. That's according to the FBI statistics. Now, of course, these statistics could be wrong. But let's say they are right because they're the FBI. Perception and reality is two different things. But our ability to report all these other incidents has went up extremely high, exponentially, off the chart, through the social media. Things would happen in other states, like someone would get shot here years ago, let's say in Alabama, and you wouldn't hear anything about it. But now someone gets shot anywhere, you automatically hear about it through the social media, due to internet articles, due to CNN World News, if it's really severe, Fox News, and other things. So that's the reality that we have happening right now. That's according to the FBI. But in the future, regardless of what the FBI says and what anybody else thinks, it is going to get a lot worse once we get the financial collapse. People are going to run around bonkers, you Americans. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
All right, folks, that's it. It's been real. It's been a pleasure, as always. Thanking Sergio Mims for sticking with us and supporting us, of course. Check out his website, Shadow and Act, courtesy of IndieWire.com. Let's go out with more from Yasiin Bey with his mashup of Marvin Gaye and himself. This is Modern Marvel Part 1, Yasiin Gaye. Now, Yasiin Gaye, G-A-Y-E. See you this Saturday with the uncanny Daryl being, of course, the incomparable Captain Kirk. Saturday, 6 p.m. Let's get to it. Let's groove. See you Saturday, 6 p.m. Thank you.
find an excuse, cause we know you have only should be home with the kids, this is no way for me if I can pass you. I don't know it's surreal, but I'm hard-headed still, black dog.
Thank you.